Well, praise the Lord. How are y'all doing this evening? Doing blessed. Yeah, that's great. Very good to see y'all here this evening and those of us online. Well, if you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by praising with We Bring the Sacrifice of Praise. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. Amen. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I see. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. And when I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God. the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. And draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. Well, anybody got a pick of him this evening? Yeah. Sure. Yeah, we can do 571. Okay, trust and obey. That's great. All right. Oh, yeah, yeah, trust and obey. There, 571, trust and obey. We ought to see it here any minute. There we go. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear, can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Any others? All right, praise the Lord.
All right, good evening. How's everybody doing this evening? All right, amen, amen. Very good, very good. Do we have any praises tonight? Praises, praises. Anybody got one? All right, over here left. Amen, all right. So donations. And when's the cook-off again? And when is President's Day? Which, 2-0? So four, so we're close. Donations for chili cook-off. Oh my goodness, it's on. Yes, it is. All right, praises. Okay, yes, ma'am, Miss Alita. Well, good for you. Amen. Very, very good. All right, all right.
I don't know whether you consider it a praise or not. I feel in my heart it belongs in the praise box or it deserves a praise.
Okay, Frank. Yeah. Yes, sir.
We both were of the unanimous opinion that this thing went off amazingly well. It was obvious that he had put so much work into the ministry. She and I discussed that over the day with a whisper.
That's. We got home and we talked about this thing. That's every year, brother.
I was amazed.
Yeah, man. Tell your friends. Amen.
What we enjoyed, I thought Denise might not make the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
She wanted to so bad, she kept wishing me, Frank, you go out if you have to. I don't want you to go. I don't want you to go, but you're going to go. Well, that's what you want me to do. I'm going.
I'm going, girl.
I'm coming later. So, to me, that in my heart, I'd like to praise God for making that happen as a result.
Yeah. Amen, man. That was.
My commendations don't really mean anything, but watch their words. I commend this church for putting on a real fine Valentine's
family. Amen, brother. It was a good one.
Tremendous. Oh. I enjoyed it and enjoyed meeting people, very much meeting people, chatting with people, and getting to know
people. Amen, amen. All right, very good. All right, announcement, announcement. We've got, let's see here. What do we call them? Yes. President's Day Fun Day. There it is. All right, Monday, February 20th, President's Day, time 8:30 to 3:30, open to the public. Ages K through 6. Cost is free. And there'll be games, music, crafts, and a Bible lesson. Each child is asked to bring a sack lunch. Put your child's name on their sack lunch. Very good. And just a limited number of students. And registration ends at 12 p.m. February 17th. All right. Very good. And you got George Washington and Abraham Lincoln there. Amen. All right. Very good. All right. Any other praises? All right. Prayer requests? Yes, ma'am. Oh, my. Uh-oh. So this is Bill? Yeah. Okay. So we're praying for her health? All right. Very good, very good. All right, what else? Other prayer needs? Unspoken, yeah. All right, yes. Barbara Manning, okay. Okay, Jackie. That's right. All right, anything else? Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Okay. You got it. Anybody else? Anything online? No? Who does? Okay. Continue to pray for Turkey and Syria. I think that death toll is up to 41,000. I can't believe they're still pulling out people alive. It's a miracle. It's a miracle, boy. Miracle. Miss Terry, that's right. She left today. Uganda. All right. Pray for Ukraine. All right. What else? Anything else? Yeah. All right. Very good. All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Let's do it. Dear Jesus, we come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to gather in your name. And we thank you, Lord, you've gathered folks to be here to pray and to study your word and sing praises to you, Lord, and just worship you tonight. Right here in the middle of the week. We're thankful that we can have a midweek service and just pause and reflect on the goodness of our salvation, the blessings that we have in Christ, the truth of your word. We just praise you and thank you for this opportunity tonight. So we praise you tonight, Lord. We're thankful and worshipful of your grace. And Lord, this salvation that you bestowed upon us. We also praise you for these donations that have come in. For the annual chili cook-off that we've not been able to do on account of COVID for several years, a couple years here. But Lord, we're coming back, and it looks like it's coming back strong. And so we're thankful for the great donations that have come in. And Lord, we just pray for a good turnout on the 24th. We pray that people would really be blessed by the evening. And Lord, they would find it in their hearts to support the school as best they can, Lord, through the silent auction, the live auction, and just everything that goes on. We pray for safety, Lord, on the 24th, inside and outside the building. We just pray just be a good time and a gift back to the community, Lord, as we just celebrate with each other. We haven't seen each other so in quite a few years from COVID. Lord, we also praise you for this one-year anniversary for Miss Alita. Lord, thank you for this job. We prayed for this job. You blessed her with this job. And So, Lord, she's been in it for a year now. We just thank you for that milestone. Lord, we do praise you and thank you for the Valentine banquet and just the joy we had, the fun we had. It's a great time. Thank you for Miss Virginia and her team, the hospitality crew, putting that on. It's a great, great night. So we just give you praise for that. We continue to pray for Miss Vicky's sister. We pray for her health. Just lift Bill up to you tonight, Lord. Pray you give those physicians wisdom and discernment on how best to treat her and what to do. We lift up the unspokens that are represented by the folks that are here tonight, those that are watching online. Lord, we just voice those unspokens up to you now. Thank you for hearing those, and Lord, for being sovereign and working on our behalf. We continue to pray for Barbara Manning and her health and healing. Lord, be with her as she recovers, and Lord, just keep her infection free, and Lord, just help her with therapy, and just watch over Miss Barbara. Jackie, Loopy Holder's a friend, we pray for this pretty major procedure she's going to be having the 1st of March. Pray that you just keep her body healthy and be with that surgeon, be with that anesthesiologist. Lord, we just pray for a successful procedure. And then, Lord, we lift up Ronnie Vaculik to you tonight. We pray that you would continue to touch him and give him relief, Lord, in his feet and all the way up to his ears and Lord, his eyes, just all the different things, his pancreas, Lord, all the different issues that he's dealing with. We just pray your healing hand upon him. Ronnie Holman, Lord, we pray for his healing as well from cancer. And Lord, we pray you touch his body, be with him, help him, Lord, heal him, give him a testimony of a full recovery from this cancer, Lord. So we're lifting Ronnie up to you. John Thornhill, we're praying for his back and his general health, Lord. We lift him up to you tonight and pray you touch his body. And the Lord, as we are continue to see the news reports come in on Turkey and Syria, our hearts are just burdened by what we see and just a tragic event. Lord, we are thankful for the miracles of still pulling people from the rubble. We pray those miracles would continue. Help those people bury their dead. Help them through that process of grief. And Lord, in the midst of all of it, we pray there might be some Christian witness somehow, some way. Some cracks in the armor that the gospel can get through and get in. And Lord, just give some people some hope. We just pray that would happen. That through this tragedy, there might be some salvation brought to some folks over there in that part of the world. We continue to pray for Terry, Miss Terry, as she is traveling to Uganda for this mission trip. Pray you keep her safe, Lord. Give her a good mission trip over there. Pray that it would go according to your will and your plan and that you would use Terry in a mighty way to bring help and healing to the people of Uganda and also opportunities for salvation. As she ministers to physical needs, we pray that doors are open for spiritual needs to be met and gospel presentations to be shared. So, Lord, we're lifting that situation up to you. We continue to pray for Ukraine and, Lord, this war with Russia, that it would end and that Ukraine would keep its land, sovereignty, its democracy. Lord, we pray that you'd help them somehow, some way overcome the adversary, overcome this great enemy, and get back their land. We pray for our country, pray for our government, Lord. We pray for our protection from above, our protection from abroad. Pray for our troops, Lord, keep them safe. And Lord, we just pray that you do a work in our country. Be with those politicians that are thinking about running in the next cycle. And Lord, we pray you'd raise up some Christian people, men and women, both sides of the aisle, Lord. Just pray you'd raise them up. Put a savoring influence in Washington. Both houses and the presidency and his cabinet, Lord, and on the Supreme Court, Lord. We just pray you'd pepper that place with Christian people. So, Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word that we can be in it. We pray that you lead, guide us, and direct us. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. All right. Well, we're not going to stand tonight for a reading because we got a lot of passages to look up. So you'll just have to bear with us and be ready. We're going to spend quite a bit of time tonight in the book of Hebrews. So if you want to kind of turn there and move your little Bible marker up in there, that'd be good. That'd be fine. But last time we were talking, this is our third installment on the priesthood, and we were talking about lessons for ancient Israel. We shared two lessons, so to speak. Those of you with us online, hopefully you remember that. First, we talked about the ancient Israelites would have been impressed with the prominence of the priesthood in God's order and with Aaron as their first high priest. We were dealing with these lessons for ancient Israel concerning the priesthood. Secondly, we said the Israelites would have been impressed with the grace of God. Now, this, I really loved getting this out of the text. This really floored me, but the Israelites would have been impressed with the grace of God in the appointment of Aaron as Israel's high priest. This Aaron, who is now honored by being appointed as Israel's first high priest, is the same man who seemed to be, at best, a sort of tag-along helper of Moses. More than this, this is the man, remember who Aaron is, this is the man who was instrumental in leading Israel in her false worship of the golden calf, per Exodus chapter 32. Now this same Aaron is Israel's high priest, and one can only explain this Aaronic priesthood purely as a matter of God's grace. We ended last time saying, much like Paul, who was a persecutor of the church, and then came by God's grace to be a great apostle to the church, Aaron, a hindrance to Moses in Israel, now becomes her spiritual leader. As we begin tonight, we're talking about a third lesson, lessons for ancient Israel. Third, the Israelites would be reminded of the holiness of God and of the dangers faced by those who would draw near to Him in service. You'll remember, we started this all talking about the death of Nadab and Abihu, right? So, the two oldest sons of Aaron, right? And so, the priesthood was an exceedingly dangerous job for those who drew near to Him in service, dare not do so casually or carelessly, as did Nadab and Abihu. And for those of you that weren't with us these other couple of Bible studies, we basically got into and looked at the fact, studying the context in chapter 10, it seems to appear that Nadab and Abihu had been tying one on, so to speak, with the alcohol. And so they were casual and careless. They were having party time when they should have been having their holy time on. So anyway, fourthly, Israel would be painfully aware of the limitations of this Aaronic priesthood. Now, thus, they would be prepared for and looking forward, praise the Lord, for a better priest in priesthood. We know that to be who? Jesus, right? Which would be the result of the new covenant and of the coming of Christ, this better priest in priesthood. The Aaronic priesthood was shown to have failed at its very outset. It is as though an unsinkable ship was launched. Remember the Titanic? Oh, that thing can't sink. An unsinkable ship was launched, and at first instant, it struck the water, and it sank. If these two priests, Nadab and Abihu, were so sinful to be struck dead by God, how could anything they or any other sinful priest did bring people to perfection? There's no way the priesthood is going to bring people to perfection. Any system which had an imperfect priesthood could surely not bring the people to perfection. And so the flaws of the old covenant and its Aaronic priesthood pointed to the need for a new and better covenant with a better priesthood. The Aaronic priesthood was only a provisional, imperfect priesthood. I've often mentioned of it as planned obsolescence. That's how they make our cars. They don't make our cars to last. Would you agree with that? Planned obsolescence. They could make the tires last longer. They could make the engines last longer. They could make the paint last longer. But they don't. They want you to come back. and buy another one, right? Planned obsolescence. Well, this Aaronic priesthood is kind of planned obsolescence. It's provisional. It's imperfect. So a sinner was the high priest, and his sinful sons were priests as well. There was no basis for unbridled optimism in the Aaronic order. Now, that's lessons for the Old Testament. Let's talk about lessons for New Testament Christians. That'd be me and you, right? New Testament Christian. There are a number of principles of priesthood to be found in the book of Leviticus, which apply to both Old and New Testaments. But before we consider these, there are several New Testament principles which will guide us in differentiating between the Aaronic priesthood of Leviticus and the priesthood which is described in the New Testament. And let me just say, I praise God for the priesthood of the New Testament. Praise be to God. Principle number one, the Old Testament Aaronic priesthood has been fulfilled and rendered obsolete by Jesus Christ, the great high priest. When we come to the Old Testament Levitical priesthood, we must recognize that this priesthood has been rendered obsolete by the coming of Christ and the inauguration of His perfect priesthood, which brings men to perfection. Amen, hallelujah. Now, we don't get that perfection till we get out of this life. But friend, we do get to be perfected one day. If the Aaronic priesthood was plagued by imperfection of its priests, the priesthood inaugurated by our Lord is marked by the perfection and the holiness of Jesus Christ, in whom there was no sin. In those very areas of imperfection is where the old priesthood was weak and inadequate, and where Christ has proven to be the perfect priest. And so the standards which God set for the priesthood and which men failed to meet are those which Christ has met fully. He's met every standard fully. And I mentioned Hebrews, and so here we go. The book of Hebrews has much to say about Christ as our great high priest and of His superiority to that order called the Aaronic priesthood order. Now, let's trace the planned obsolescence of the Aaronic priesthood in its attempt to take away iniquity. Now, before we get to Hebrews, we need to look at Exodus. So Genesis, Exodus, so go back a book, all right? You're going to go to Exodus 28 if you want to. You don't have to. You can listen to me read it. I don't care. Exodus 28, verse 36. Exodus 28, 36. If you're turning there and you found it, say amen. All right, Exodus 28, 36. You shall also make a plate of pure gold and shall engrave on it like the engravings of a seal, holy to the Lord. 37, you shall fasten it on a blue cord and it shall be on the turban, right? It shall be at the front of the turban. 38, it shall be on Aaron's forehead, right? And Aaron shall take away the iniquity of the holy things which the sons of Israel consecrate with regard to all their holy gifts, and it shall always be on his forehead that they may be accepted before the Lord. Now, however, due to the sinfulness of these priests, provision had to be made to cover their own sins. They're trying to intercede on behalf of the people's sins, but guess what? They've got their own sins to deal with. So they would not die. So they've got to do some things so that when they approach the Lord, they're not struck dead. So let's continue on. Exodus chapter 28, looking at verse 40. For Aaron's sons, you shall make tunics, you shall also make sashes for them, and you shall make caps for them for glory and for beauty. You shall put them on Aaron, your brother, and on his sons with him. And you shall anoint them and ordain them and consecrate them that they may serve me as priests. You shall make for them linen breeches to cover their bare flesh. They shall reach from the loins even to the thighs. They shall be on Aaron and on his sons, and when they enter the tent of meeting or when they approach the altar to minister in the holy place, so that they do not incur guilt and die, It shall be a statute forever to him and to his descendants after him, right? And then chapter 29, we're not going to read. You're more than welcome to read that in your time. But that just deals with the consecration and continued thought of what we have already mentioned. Chapter 29, it's not just a huge chapter, but it's more than we can take on here this evening. Now, as I have said and you have heard, not until Jesus Christ came as Israel's Messiah and great high priest that the sins of men were atoned for once for all. This Old Testament thing, this Old Covenant thing, kind of a Band-Aid, just kind of covering it up, but not really dealing with it in totality until Jesus Christ atones once for all. The writer of Hebrews makes much of the superiority of Christ and of his priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. So let's look at Hebrews, as I mentioned to you earlier. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2, and we'll pick it up here at about verse 14, shall we? 14. So Hebrews 2, are you there? Amen. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. All right, people online are looking at a lot of verses tonight. The Word of God reads in Hebrews 2:14, "Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives." Jump down to verse 17, "Therefore he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." Verse 18, "For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted." Amen. Praise the Lord. Chapter 3, verse 1, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession." So as we continue on in Hebrews, let's look at chapter 4. Chapter 4, beginning in about verse 14. All right. Are you with me? 4:14. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things, as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For chapter 5, verse 1, "For every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God, in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is beset with weakness. And because of it, he is obligated to offer sacrifices for sins as for the people, so also for himself." All right, we see that. Amen. Jump down to chapter 5, verse 7. "In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation." Verse 10, "being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of," you say the word, Melchizedek. That's right. Now, in chapter 7, and we can't read all of this, but I'll give you these things. In chapter 7, 8, 9, and 10, the book of Hebrews, the writer to the Hebrews, he reaches the pinnacle. He reaches the crescendo of his argument for the superiority of the priesthood of Christ. And he provides the following evidence. And you want to get these down, you can get these down. Number one, a better priesthood, chapter 7, 1 through 10. Number two, a better covenant, chapter 7, 11 through 28. Number 3, I really like this one. I really like this one. A better ministry, chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. Number 4, a better tabernacle and a better sacrifice, chapter 9, verses 1 through 28. Number 6, a better sanctification, chapter 10, 1 through 18. And then the conclusion to the argument of these chapters in Hebrews is found in the remainder of chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Amen and amen? And so, principle number 1, the Old Testament Aaronic priesthood has been fulfilled and rendered obsolete by Jesus Christ, the great high priest. There's a second New Testament principle of priesthood, which is an outgrowth of the first. So principle 2 is this. The Lord Jesus Christ has instituted a new priestly order, not of a few select individuals, but of all those who are born again, who are united by faith with his priesthood. Just as Aaron, Israel's first high priest, was the top-ranking priest of a whole order, so Jesus Christ is the head of a New Testament order of priests. The priesthood of the Old Testament was called the Aaronic priesthood because all the priests were the offspring of Aaron. They were members of his family. But the priesthood of the New Testament is composed of all who are in Christ. This is implied in the book of Hebrews. In chapter 8, we read of a better ministry. In chapter 9, we're told of one of the results of the high priestly ministry of Christ. Now, let's look at Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9, 13 and 14. 9, 13 and 14. There if you want to be, anybody? Chapter 9, I'll get a drink, let you catch up. All right, all right. 9, 13, and 14. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The service which is to result from the cleansing accomplished by our great high priest is a priestly service. Thus, in chapter 10, the application of Christ's work in the believer's actions is described in the priestly vocabulary of the Old Testament priesthood. Chapter 10, we're coming to the home stretch. Just hang with me. A lot of passages, preacher, this is like a Bible study. I know. Chapter 10, verses 21. Are you there if you want to be? All right, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, the Old Testament priests were those who drew near and were those who had to be washed in order to carry out their priestly duties. This terminology is now applied to all who are in Christ because all who are in Christ are priests. So, what are you saying? I'm saying you're a priest, or the Bible is. You're a priest, okay? This is clearly taught elsewhere in the New Testament. Our Lord taught that the new order which he would bring into existence was one in which a religious hierarchy would not and could not exist. There was to be no longer a group that mediated for the rest. No men were to be put on a higher spiritual level than others. Thus, in the New Testament, all believers are said to be the priesthood of the New Covenant. And we'll end with this passage, 1 Peter, if I can get there. 1 Peter, chapter 2, 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then we'll end it with verse 9. But you are a chosen race, royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So, did everybody know that they were a priest? Did everybody know that? Yeah. Not telling you anything new, just maybe affirming it. You're a priest? Yeah? You knew that? Amen, Frank? Did you know that? That you were a priest? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And so we'll kind of look at it on Sunday night if the Lord tarries and hasn't raptured us all home by then. We'll look Sunday night at why do people still want somebody to mediate for them? Because there are denominations, brother, where there are people mediating for them all over the place. You go in a little booth and you confess your sins to another man. And then he tells you, you know, to do something for penance. Yeah. So, why is that? We'll kind of dabble in that just a little bit. Take a swing at it anyway. Try to get a lay of the land. Amen? All right. Well, y'all be safe. Be good. We'll have a closing word of prayer. Online folks, good to have you tonight. We'll see you soon. Amen. Let's pray it out. Dear Jesus, we thank you for tonight. Lord, we looked at a lot of Scripture. And Lord, I hope it wasn't too overwhelming for those in attendance and those watching. Lord, I pray that things that were heard and listened to, Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would make connection of all that and bring it back to memory. And Lord, as we go to sleep tonight and wake up in the morning, maybe there'd be some more clarity to what we've even shared tonight. And so, Lord, we pray that in earnest. And Lord, we pray that we just continue to feed on your word and to rest in your grace and just to celebrate our salvation. Give us safety as we depart this place tonight. And Lord, we love you. Thank you for all you do for us. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, all right, priests, that's, well, no, you don't have to get difficult. But you know, I always encourage people bathing before they come. To be clean, amen. Physically. Amen.
You mean like a week or two before?
Well, yeah, you know, like the day of or day before.